Welcome back to another episode of the Action Academy podcast. For all of my listeners that are brand new to the show, our entire business model is very simple. We give you all the information you could ever need for free, and you pay for the implementation with our Action Academy community. This is a group where we hold you accountable. We really get in depth into the weeds with you, with your investing, with your business, and do a lot of one-on-one and group coaching to get you where you want to be. And today's episode is a snippet of just that. Today's episode is a live coaching call within the Action Academy community that we did with my business coach that I hired to take Action Academy from zero to a million a year, Chris Goodman. And I'll put his Instagram in the show description. But Chris and I did essentially a dual coaching session for Action Academy members. We said, if you have a business, whether it's an investing business, real estate business, or a regular business, a service business, come on this call and we will live coach you until we figure out all your problems and bottlenecks. And that is exactly what today's podcast episode is. It is a real life case study with real life problems. And shout out to Lila, one of our Action Academy members, and her husband for allowing us to share their story and share their business. They're currently doing $60,000 a month in their home cleaning service company, and they're trying to take that up to $200,000 a month. And they've got newborns, they've got young children, they're burnt out, they're stressed out, they're pissed off, and they're trying to figure out how the hell to scale this thing when they don't have anyone around them that scaled a business to that size before. And they feel lost, they feel confused, they feel stressed. And that's what we talk about in today's podcast episode. We go through literally every single bit and piece of their business. I give them some advice. Chris, my coach, gives them some wonderful advice. And it really ends with them having a lot of confidence, a lot of clarity, a lot of actionable takeaways for them to fix their business and scale to where it truly deserves to be. And I'm honored to be able to share this. Thank you to Lila and your husband for allowing us to share, for all of you guys to get benefit from this as well. And just remember, like, we don't do ads for Action Academy because we just show you exactly what we freaking do. So this is going to be me, my coach, Chris, Lila, and her husband. So I hope that you guys enjoy. And if you do, please share with another entrepreneur that's going through the same thing. There are many of us going through what we talk about today. So let's get to it.
This is my husband, John.
Hey, guys.
Hey, John.
How you doing?
I have the floor.
And yeah, full disclosure, we have two kids under three watching the Taylor Swift concert in the background, so yeah. They'll join.
I have a two-year-old and another one that's due in September, so I totally understand. It's okay.
That's awesome. I'll be brief. My husband and I own a home cleaning company we started 14 months ago to purposefully change our lives and so we could get home with the kids and build income that we had not seen before. So we started out the gate very strong and we plateaued for a few months at about the 40 to 45,000 per month mark. And in the last month and a half, just took off like 25% growth. And there's been like almost like a culmination of all the work of the last 14 months, like all of a sudden referrals are pouring in. Our SEO is just putting so much steam and we're getting bookings on our website just from organic search. And
it's like everything just started to click.
Yeah.
Yep.
So last month we closed down at 60 a month for that month. And we just got like a 10,000 commercial contract. So it's been great. And we're reaching this tipping point where he's doing this all on his own. We've hired two VAs in the past. It was not successful. We're still going to hire another one because it's unmanageable at this point. It's so busy. They were entering this world that's totally unknown to us with these numbers. It's hitting a point like, well, we've never done this before. We've had businesses in the past, but not these numbers. And we feel like we're at this precipice of unknown. Like, not that we're scared of making this money or these numbers, but we're hitting a level of, okay, we're going to have $1 million business soon. How do we get to three? How do we get to five? It's starting to feel outside of our scope in a way. And we were trying to think of like tactical questions, but I think the biggest one was a mindset one. Mm-hmm. With the customer or clients you've worked in the past, when their business gets to this tipping point, what's the biggest mistake people make? Or what is like the best piece of advice you have for them in this next phase of the business where it feels like you don't know what you have to do in that phase or who you have to be? Does that kind of?
Yeah, I think, you know, you can, I feel like you can accidentally build a $1 million business, but I think like getting from a million to 3 million takes a lot of intention and deliberateness and understanding of what you're doing. And so I think like we're just at that point now where we've fumbled our way through, we've been holding the tiger by the tail and literally built a $500,000 business in 12 months. And then we're on track to do 850 right this our second year. But it's now getting to the point where like it needs to be deliberate. It needs to be intentional.
Mm. And it's a little scary for me.
A little scary.
It feels like
a little imposter syndrome.
Yeah. And I just, when you see that happen with other companies, I don't know, we've gotten a mixture of advice from people. So I'm just, yeah, that was my biggest thing as a business coach, with what you've seen with other businesses.
Who can relate to what they just said? Like commas and zeros on the deals that you're even analyzing? Like you maybe analyzed $1 million deal and now you're looking at $10 million deals. And you're like, never goes away. All right, Mr. Goodman.
So the first, that's a great question. It sums up so many different entrepreneurial experiences in one business. So I'm really grateful that you brought it up. The first thing I want to hit on is disturbance. You mentioned feelings like it's outside of our scope. Thoughts like maybe we're in uncharted territory. Thoughts like this is imposter syndrome, or who are we to have a business this big, this fast? So if you guys are taking notes, I would just capture this as disturbance isn't necessarily a problem. You might get disturbed while you're building. You might get really disturbed if things take off quickly and you've got to make some big decisions fast. That doesn't, like, you have to train your brain to realize that is not the signal of a fight or flight situation. That disturbance isn't necessarily a problem. So it's like Brian said earlier, I would tease him, don't create a problem before it exists. What if you're right on time for this kind of growth? It, clearly what your service is doing exactly what it needs to do if your referrals are pouring in and you have 25% plus growth every month. Does that make sense, first of all?
Yeah.
Secondly, you're going to have to bolt on a brand new identity. Meaning, you're going to have to sit down and visualize who, as a business owner, do I really want to be? What kind of calendar, as a business owner, do I really want? How much free time at home do I really want? I see some of you nodding. This ringing a bell? Because
yeah,
most of us will not zoom out to get that kind of perspective because we're movers, we're shakers, we're doers, we're get shit doneers. That's all good to a certain level. But what got you guys here will not get you to the next level. And my suggestion is to take a half day. You guys get the kid situated with somebody who you trust and you don't have to worry about. And you guys sit down without any distractions for at least 4 hours and answer a few key questions. Who must I be in business at this next level? What must my calendar look like for me to have a great life and be able to build this business the way I truly want? Because that's going to be different. We have, 53 people on? That's going to be different for 53 people. That'll even be different in your relationship. One of you guys might like to spend more. Yeah, is that the case?
Yeah, I was nodding because there is no structure to anything with. We've tried it. We're trying to get better at it with the calendar and babies. I think, acquiesced to the fact it's going to be a shit show for another year or two. They get older. There's some structure because right now there's absolutely none. He's working his ass off, but he's also, we have a 3-year plan to get this more passive, but I think you've almost given in to this is how it's going to be, but it's unsustainable. Mm-hmm. I don't want to speak for you, but she's willing to do anything, literally anything to make this work. And I'm so proud of him. I can't even talk about it, but he's had some rough moments where I'm worried about his health. And so we have to find a balance too, because it's.
I think there's like I would attribute a lot of our success to, this isn't a passive income. This is 80 hours a week. It's Sunday afternoons, taking phone calls during my son's birthday, you know, answering sales calls. Like, and we don't want that level to go on forever, but I have no plans on taking a backseat in the business at any time soon. This isn't going to be like hire a VA and just let them run it. No one's going to care about this business like we are. So I still want to do sales and customer service for several years at least. But yeah, we want to get to the point where there's a little bit more balance between.
When we started this kind of business, that in the future it could loosen up.
So we can continue to grow. We can become from a $500,000 company to a $3 million company and plus, while still keeping the sanity and enjoying the time with our kids now while they're young and not working 120 hours a week.
So, guys, it sounds like you're, and sorry to cut in, Crispus. I literally just built what you guys are trying to build. I just did the revenue jump that you are doing. Zero to a million is like jet fuel. Like, it's a lot of energy moving in a lot of different directions. And 1 to 3 million is like surgery. So it's just, it's like right now, like what got you here is like good and you've got product market fit. But to, in order to scale, what you're saying and what you're apprehensive about right now is going to be your bottleneck, because you're saying that you don't like systems, you don't like frameworks. But I'm here to tell you, your business will implode and you will not have scale without the systems and without the frameworks. And I know you're saying that because you're a little one, that's what's allowing you to not have the systems and the frameworks. But I'd make the argument that my friend Ryan Pineda, he built all of his companies. He's got like 12 different companies with like young children along the way. And he goes, I had to be intentional with the design of my company so that I could be there for my kids. And if I wasn't intentional with my systems and I just winged it and just did what you were saying, where it's like, I'm going to be the only one doing sales calls, I'm going to be the only one doing customer success, that is the thought that will directly prevent you from spending the time with your kids when it matters the most. Chris, is there anything that you want to add to that? I've just seen this like 100 times now.
Let me just riff for a couple of minutes, because so much came up. Layla, you asked the question, is there one thing that you see people do at this phase? And it's exactly what we're talking about. It's entrepreneurs falling on their own sword, sacrificing their time, sacrificing their health, always sacrificing their energy, which is why I put in the chat box over here. I don't think he meant to say it this way, but if you listen carefully to the language, all of you guys will reveal what you're thinking. And he said, no one is going to care about this business like we are. Brian, as you have scaled, have you found and cultivated some people who care about your business as much as you do?
Show of hands, who thinks Caitlin cares?
So when I said earlier, 80% of this is how you think, is your mindset. That's a perfect example, because it's not that you're doing anything wrong there. And it's definitely not that you somehow nefariously came up with this concept to harm your family or harm yourself. It's none of that. I truly believe that you are innocent in that regard and that you mean well. However, one of the classic pitfalls I see people do after they fall on the sword is they don't ask for any help to get off of the sword. And so they just stay on it, right? And so as a coach, my job is to jump in and help you pull that sword out and go, I never, ever have to do that again. And we do that by switching thoughts like this, that no one is going to care about this business like we are, because you guys will accidentally, like goats on a path, you will just keep on that and you will create a rut in your mind where somebody suggests, why don't you hire a better VA? And you go, no, it doesn't work because nobody's going to care about this business like we are. And we get on this hamster wheel and we go round and round. And Brian can attest to this. Every week I was in his ear throwing a monkey wrench into that hamster wheel going, I like to mix metaphors, by the way, so you're just going to have to deal with it. Sorry. Throwing that monkey wrench into his hamster wheel, because you need to break that pattern if you're going to get a different result. So I put in the chat box that you guys have been really successful at checkers. Definitely time to switch to chess, which means you got to look at three things. First, your lead generation. It's clearly working. There are some things that are kicking off great results. Are they systematized? Are they predictable? Can you pull a lever on these referrals and get a certain number of revenue back? That's the first piece, lead generation. The second structure to start building into is lead conversion. One of the best ways that I recommend you do this is build out a customer journey or whatever you want to call it. Brian's done it. Probably out of everybody I've coached, I think Brian's done the most thorough job of thinking about what happens when the person first interacts with my brand. What's the first step? What's the second step? Now they're on a boat in Cabo and they're having a great time. What's the step after that? So the reason I suggest you do that is you're going to draw out other problems along the way. That's going to create other systems to give you space. This making sense?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, makes sense.
Cool. And so lead generation, lead conversion, and then this is really where it sounds like you're struggling is leverage. Leverage comes in the form of people, systems, and tools. You've probably heard this because Brian is a master of this. If you are giving up 100 plus hours a week, you have a people problem. If you're giving up 60 hours a week, you have a people problem. One of my closest friends made $12 million last year, has a team of six, and she works about 3 hours a day. How does she get that much leverage? By the way, she profited 40%. So how does she get that much leverage? She has a great team who cares more than she does. Right? That's possible. People are covered. She has great systems for lead generation, for lead conversion, for outbound clients, even to retarget them and bring them back in. There's a system for that. And the last part is tools. She gets tremendous leverage through things like Facebook ads, through Kajabi. She uses that at a very high level. I know most of you can get this at the surface level. What I'm asking you to do is to get outside of your own perspective for a little bit and go, if this were somebody else's business and I was sitting down with them and they were asking me, hey, what would I do to solve this people problem? Here's what I'd tell them to do. And write it down. You do that for a few hours and guess what? You got your whole business plan.
Yeah.
Does this make sense? Questions? Concerns?
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that. I think there's the intentionality behind it. I think we've been growing so fast. We just had our head down. And we're just like slamming a square peg through a round hole that we're not taking the time to visualize what's the next step, what needs to be done, the version of ourselves, the version of our business in order to get to the next level. So that's a really good reminder. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a classic slow down to speed up. Have you ever seen somebody who doesn't know how to drive well get in a Ferrari or something like it, right? They start fishtailing, they're turning sideways before you know it, they're off the road, they're in a ditch, and they're like, what happened? Versus somebody who's willing to learn to slow down and go, okay, I got to get control of this. And not in a stranglehold kind of way, but in a strategic and structured, where do I need leverage and where do I need some systems kind of way.
Yeah. And it's a navigation versus acceleration, to put a name to what Chris is saying. And it's what we talk about a lot. You guys are just in super acceleration mode. So it's just like a lot of adrenaline, a lot of like hormones kicking off. And you're just like, all right, cool. It's working. Ah, entrepreneurship, pass it on. But then eventually you'll fulfill the current customer demand and then you'll move on to the next stage and then you'll be riding that hamster wheel. But until you go into the period of navigation again, like Chris was saying, where you pull over to the side of the road for a pit stop and you fill the car up with gas and you reset the GPS, if you just accelerate, that's how you break down. What I recommend doing also, and that really worked for me, and me and Chris worked through this exercise tangibly, it's really tactical. Go on a piece of paper and write down, here are the top five ways that this business fails. The way it fails. Like, here are the top five ways that this business will fail. And then from that point, like on the path to 3 million or wherever have you. And then from that point, now we can proactively attack all of these weak links and make them strong. So like, for instance, how does Action Academy fail? Fraud. Anybody familiar with that? Yeah. So huge way. Like I was like, okay, now how do we mitigate that? We just got punched in the face. How do we mitigate for that? Growing too fast is how we fail. If we all of a sudden bring in 100 new members in April, all of you guys would go, what the hell? Who are these people? And there'd be no onboarding process to fulfill the need. There's just so many different ways that it can fail. And when you write those ways out and you like air out your weaknesses, like you're only as strong as your weakest link. So that's what you're working on, is you're working on each one of those instead of focusing on where you're crushing it. That's what allows you to create your armor to take you to the next couple of levels. And to finish this, I'll get off my soapbox really quickly. You guys are saying like, can't find a VA. I can't find a VA. I can't find a VA. Chris, how many assistants did I go through when I was with you? Six?
At least five, yeah.
Five. Chris, meet Estefania. She rocks. She's over there.
Hey, all right.
We finally found one. Like, she's
they do exist.
Yeah, we got her. Yeah. So I'm here to say, I was in your shoes and I was like, nope, doesn't work. Can't have an executive assistant. Nope, doesn't work. Like, they don't understand what I want. And I had to look at myself in the mirror and everything changed, guys.
when I realized it was my fault. Because how the fuck are they supposed to know what to do if I don't know what to tell them? You're saying you have no systems and processes, but your VA, your assistants, and all your hires are failing. What system and process are they following?
Sure.
So I had to do that. I was like, oh, I'm the problem. And it's like extreme ownership. And from that point, now granted, it hasn't been sunshine and roses. Stephanie had to help me a lot still too. But it's a lot smoother now. Do you guys have any other questions for Chris before we move on?
That was really helpful. Thank you, Brian, for that. The five ways that the business can fail. And Chris, what you talked about, that the customer journey from the beginning is super helpful because we were so obsessed with that in the beginning. But our head, like you said, has been down so long. And now to pause and lift up, catch our breath for a second is really helpful. It's really helpful.
Good. Let me offer one more, maybe two more things. I told you, I don't have all the answers. You've got most of them. This book is something you need. Who, not how. Somebody, like, wave your hand at me if you've read this book and enjoyed it. Wave your hand at me if you read this book and hated it and got no value out of it. Yeah, it's a damn good book. It's about a 4-hour read. I can always judge a book based on how many notes I take on the inside covers. One of my favorite notes from this whole book is delegate everything except genius. So you guys are taking, and I know you mean because you're really trying to take care of these clients, but at a certain point, you have to look up just like Brian did and go, somebody else can do this task. And then you got to have the courage to go, let's go screw around and find out if we can find somebody who can do it well. And you might not nail it on the first one. However, even if they do 50% of the job, that gives you that time back to go do what you are a genius at, which from my seat looks like it's at building this business from a high level. So I would definitely start to get some resources about structuring the org chart. Real quick, how many people are on your team?
1.5. It's the two of us and my kid, because I just say, hey, I've got a 1-year-old in my arms, and then all the moms just book queens. No problem.
All right. Then I'm going to do this at light speed. You must find and hire an admin, a rock star, your drummer to your band in the next 30 days. Which means you need to get the word out like tomorrow, which means you got to sit down, and I'll help you with this. Maybe we'll even get into it later, but you got to sit down and figure out, what does that rock star look like on our team? What's their pace? How do they prioritize things? How do they think? And that will feel so painful to sit down and do something that does not give you an immediate result. But if you will invest a little bit of time on that front end, Brian, I'm sure you can speak to this. If you'll invest some time on the front end, you won't have to do the work on the back end, right? Because you'll know exactly who you're looking for, exactly how they operate within your business. And then secondly, can't tell anybody listening here this enough times, only hire a leader. Even if it's an admin role that you don't perceive to have much responsibility or authority, only hire a leader. Take a stand on that first hire. Because from what I've seen Caitlin do, it's a perfect example. She represents the culture. She represents the speed. She represents the values of this business. And because of that, it's like an automatic filter. And it's like an automatic buffer. Because anybody who comes in has to pass that test with Caitlin. And then anything that doesn't bounces right off. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're definitely ripe for some help, because what's accidentally happened is you've created this centralized leadership where every single problem has direct access to you coming from 360 degrees. This is why I quit selling houses, because every single problem came. I'm like, I can only sell about 20 houses a month before I burn out. With a team where I was decentralized, we could sell 60 houses, 70 houses a month. And it's not a problem. I know on the surface that makes sense. For you, I want you to look at, what is my ideal org chart? This book. How many people have read this book?
Yep.
Millionaire Real Estate Agent.
It's the best business book I've ever read.
I agree. It is not a real estate book. It is a business book. It came out in like 2004. I don't even think the internet is mentioned in this book. And they haven't bothered to update it because it's that good of a book. What I'm asking you to do is breeze through that. and look at the four big models that they offer in there, including the org chart, just to get your wheels turning about what do I want my org chart to look like? So in a perfect world, you would have somebody in charge of lead generation, somebody in charge of sales and conversions and servicing that sale. And then you have your admin team, right? And you need an absolute leader at the top of each of those. Anything less is going to cause more and more problems. So you guys are at this pivotal turning point where you can take a stand and only hire really represents what you're all about. But if you don't know what you're all about and you don't know where you're going, it's going to be hard for you to cast the vision. Hey, here's my spaceship. Do you want to get on? That was a lot. I told you I was going to do a lightning round.
Thanks for the patience.
And guys, go on, Layla.
I just say just incredible timing, and thank you, because this man is doing so much. How far he's working. And you're right, he's in the center of the storm, getting it from all angles. Every complaint, everything, he just takes it all. And I'm just so worried about him, because I know he'll make himself sick. He would just do anything for us. And so he needs to hear this, because I know the fear when it comes from handing things off, but he can't keep doing it like this. So anyway, thank you for that very much.
You're welcome. So remember, guys, like if you drop, you're juggling all these balls in your business, in your life, you got them all going, things are all right. You're here, so things are all right. Some of these, if you drop them, like money, you can figure that out. It'll be okay. It'll bounce back eventually. Even if you go bankrupt. I have a client who crashed and burned 8 years ago. He was literally on the phone with a bankruptcy attorney when they came and repoed his car. That's how bad things work. He is now on the Inc. 5000 list, has a $3.5 million business, a 35-person team internationally. Things are going awesome. That money ball can bounce back. If you drop health, that one's glass. That one shatters. And you might not ever get that one back. If you drop family, and guys, I'll be vulnerable and share this. I went through a horrible divorce at the peak of my real estate career, literally 30 days before I got out of production, in part because I was spending so much time working and I wasn't present in my real life, the thing that actually mattered. I say this as a cautionary tale. Be mindful about which balls you're flirting with dropping over here.
Sir, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, and in closing, and then we'll get to Dashima. And guys, if Chris has to go, I'll stay on a little bit longer with you. But I think this has been helpful. Okay. Everybody else getting value from this. I think this is really good for us to stick on them. The last thing that I can say is business is super emotional. Like, business is never going to not be emotional, but we can divert where the emotion goes. And what I do is I convert it to metrics. And there's only two metrics for your business that you can really focus on. And then it makes things a lot easier for the management of your future customer. So these two metrics are sales velocity and LTV, lifetime value of your customer. So how many customers are coming in the door? How many customers are you servicing? And what is the value of that customer? So for us, our economic business model for Action Academy, I made the conscious decision to put a self-imposed bottleneck on our revenue, because for us, I could very easily run Facebook ads and juice 100 people a month into Action Academy. But that's not the business that I want to run. That's a volume business. So I was like, I want 30 a month. So therefore, I have to increase the price to get the economic output that I want at $3 million a year. So those are the only two levers that you can pull. So what you and Layla need to do is work economically and figure out what revenue do we want. And now let's figure out what metrics, like, do we want to serve more customers at a lower price, or do we want to double our rates and take half the customers? Like that commercial $10,000 a month contract you got. That may be a vehicle that you can focus on exclusively. And then you're working half the time servicing only a handful of the customers, but you're making all your revenue back, if that makes sense. So that's what I focus on. So that's why we upped it to 7,000. There's people on here that paid 3,500 for Action Academy a year ago. Now it's 7,000. And people, we convert better today than we converted back then, because we're good now, because we've got time under the bar. it changed my life, dude, because I was like, we can't handle onboarding for 100 people and the community will self-implode. So we put a self-imposed cap at the amount of customers that we're taking per month. And then at that point, it's a function of price. Now I'm like, this is capped. Where do we raise the price? And that will change your freaking business, dude. So much. Hopefully that helps.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that. This is exactly what we needed to hear. And I hope that this was valuable to everyone else because I realized we took up more than our fair share of time. So no. Thank you so much. Yeah.
No, yeah. If they're not dealing with it right now, they will at some point.
Yeah. Right? And this applies in real estate too, guys. Like you're going to flip some houses, buy some multifamily, and then you're going to start a real estate team that's managing the multifamily and doing all this different stuff. And then an acquisitions team. So you're going to run into this eventually if you want to make like $10 million plus, which everybody in here does. Sweet. Guys, thank you so much for being vulnerable. on here. And also thank you for being you. It is absolutely commendable. It's the American dream what you guys are doing. Take some time to celebrate. For the love of God, take time to celebrate your accomplishments. Your revenue is double what it's been before. Hey, real quick, if you're still listening to today's episode, I'm assuming you got value from it, so I need your help specifically. My 2-year vision with this show is to help over 1 million people do what they want, when they want, with who they want, and I can only do that with your help. There are two main ways that a podcast grows. One is through ratings and reviews, and the other is word of mouth. If you could please leave me a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, as well as send this to one or two friends that you think would get value from it, we can reach the people that we're looking to reach. Thanks in advance. Talk tomorrow.